Welcome to Servant Leadership Institute podcast, a production of the Servant Leadership Institute in Carlsbad, California. We are an organization where education meets action. Our mission is to inspire and equip the people we influence. The broadcast today features Art Barter, founder and CEO of the Servant Leadership Institute. Art is also owner and CEO of Datron World Communications, a radio communications manufacturer. Art has been operating his companies with servant leadership practices since 2004. He believes servant leadership was the key that allowed Datron to grow from a $10 million company to a $200 million company in just 6 years. As servant leaders, the employees of Datron World Communications have contributed over $15 million to charitable organizations all over the world. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Carol. Great to be here again with you.
Are you ready to have a conversation?
I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Great. Yep. You know, Art, in thinking about servant leadership and how it really becomes part of who you are as a leader, how does that come about? Because it seems to come easily for some people and for others not so much.
That's true. Leaders... There are some leaders that will take the servant leadership because they have a giving part in their DNA that they've already let up to the surface.
Yeah.
And they either have some experiences, been raised in an environment with family that serves and helps out in communities, or they've learned it through the years that it really is fun to give back. And others, they haven't had the chance to do that and let their heart come out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to come across all kinds of different hearts that some are buried, some are out, and there's a whole lot of them in between.
Yeah.
And it really is the heart that has to come out when you get into servant leadership. You have to start with your own heart.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch people transform. It really is.
Yeah. Do you think, let's say, for instance, you have someone that it does not come naturally to be that servant leader. Is there any hope for them?
Absolutely. There's absolute hope. Don't give up. I believe that serving others and living your life for other people, or like we say, for the sake of others, I believe that can be taught. Mm. And it's part of teaching how to open yourself up from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody has it in you, and everybody has part of their DNA. They just haven't had a chance to let it come out. And so in a lot of instances, we find people who will latch on to servant leadership fairly easy. Others will struggle, and the struggle is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always said we'll invest in people that we see change in, that we see improvement in.
Uh-huh.
We didn't bother too much on how fast that change was being made. As long as we saw a desire to learn and a desire to change, we knew that people would change at a different rate because they would struggle with that change.
Yeah.
And we all have those cement walls that we run up against in our life. And a lot of people have learned how to get through those cement walls. Some of them haven't. And we have to teach people how to get through that wall that's holding them back. So, yeah, everybody's in a different stage. And it has a lot to do with your experiences in life and what you've already experienced in serving and helping, and also experience some challenges, and that will impact your desire to become a servant leader. But it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe anyone can be held back from being a good servant leader. I think everybody wants to help other people, and it's really part of them.
Right. So we like to talk around here about changing your mindset, and I think one of the ways we can do that is through practicing what we call servant leadership behaviors. So I would love to pick your brain about that this afternoon and talk about behaviors, maybe starting with serve first.
Well, you know, serving first is the first thing we have to do. We have to get that in our like you said, your mindset. But it isn't easy in today's world. In today's world, we're taught all along the way to be concerned about ourselves and ourselves mm-hmm. first. What's in it for us?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to turn that around and ask, well, you know, what's in it for other people? What can we do to help other people? And there's there's a lot of hope around us and people who are really helping other people and serving first. In organizations, what's the best thing you can do? It depends on the organization, but in our experience, what we've done is encourage people that when you need something, ask for it. Don't wait for it to be handed to you. Don't sit back and wait for someone to come to you. Or if you have something that you know someone else needs, give it to them. Don't wait to be asked. Don't wait for that famous email to come in or a boss to come through the org chart and say, hey, do you have this information? Can you give it to someone? Just give it to them. And the other thing I've been talking about a lot lately is we all have organizations that we either have offices or cubicles or might be an open space. Let's reduce the email traffic between the cubicles. If you live next to someone and work next to someone, can you talk to them and have a relationship with them outside of your electronic device?
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side of that, we're living in a world where a lot of people live in their electronic device, and that's really the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to ask ourselves, so I'm a boomer, and I have to ask myself, okay, if I'm going to serve someone who's in their mid-20s, what's the best way for me to serve them?
Mm-hmm.
Not what I think is the best way to serve them, but how can I meet them where they are? And what do I need to do to help them learn? And if that means I have to get on an electronic device and learn what Instagram is or Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, and that's the best way for me to teach that person or give that person content and the ability, the opportunity to learn, then I need to do that. Don't sit back and go, I don't want anything to do with it because I don't understand it because I'm a boomer. You're going to lose the opportunity to impact someone.
Yeah.
And so you go from, let's have relationships and let's talk to each other and serve each other and help each other. Let's work together as a team and not as individuals. And that's what serving is all about. Let's go help some people. And, you know, in our organization, our dream is that you can go to anyone at any time to get what you need to help the customer. You don't have to go through the org chart. Now, that's some dramatic thinking, radical thinking.
I was just going to say that exact word to you,
and
radical word.
We talk about turning the org chart upside down, and part of my belief is you get rid of the org chart and let people go where they need to go to get the information they need to serve your customers.
Yeah.
There aren't a whole lot of people that will allow that to happen
right.
in organizations
because
right. we love our channels, we love our org charts, and so it's interesting. You have to meet people where they are. And with three generations, sometimes four generations of the workplace, serving first means you have to think differently. Yeah.
Well, there's something really key there, Art, that I know that I really learned from you, actually, which is, you know, yes, we want people to go to anybody in the organization and ask for what they need. But you also taught me to always bear in mind that you need to honor your leadership.
Yep, exactly.
So if you're going to go get something from somebody else, you shouldn't be doing it in secret, for example. No harm in, you know, copying your boss or letting your boss know, hey, I'm going to go directly to so-and-so and get ask for what I need.
Exactly.
And that kind of thinking, that whole concept is really radical, as you said, because people, you know, it's all tied up with that power structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the manager of this or I'm the director of that. And boy, people better honor that.
Part of serving each other is respecting each other.
Yeah.
And so as CEO, you always have opportunities to listen to people who have some issues that they want taken care of, challenges. They may come to you and say, listen, I've gone through and talked to so-and-so and I didn't get anything in return. And one of the things I do is when someone comes to me that's not a direct report of mine, is the first thing I say is I'll be more than happy to listen to you, but does your direct boss know that you're in here
yeah.
in my office?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then I say, well, you respect them enough to go let them know and then come back and we'll be more than happy to talk. And that reinforces that we do have people that we can go to in organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We need to respect the knowledge that we have in those organizations. And it's not okay just because you don't like someone to not respect their knowledge and position in the organization.
Right.
And so the respect has got to go both ways. And, you know, middle managers, they have to be able to feel comfortable enough to say, you know what, I don't have the answer. Why don't you go talk to Carol and see if she can help you with that?
Mm-hmm.
And feel comfortable that you're not threatened because you don't have the answer.
Right. That, or, you know, sometimes we don't want to let that information loose because it might identify a problem.
Could identify a problem.
And we'd much rather keep that to ourselves and maybe try and fix it before anybody sees
mm-hmm.
that there's a problem somewhere.
And, you know, when I hear that, what I think about is we're limiting how we use the knowledge in the organization.
Yeah.
We have a lot of knowledge in the organization, and if we're not secure enough to go use that knowledge, we're going to hold those problems back, and we're going to try to fix them ourselves. We're going to struggle and mm-hmm. say, I don't know what to do, but I don't want to go ask for help. And that just creates an environment where you're going to help the team fail because you're not asking for help. Raise your hand and ask for help. Go find someone that you trust and say, hey, I need some help here. Will you help me? And I'll guarantee you, in an organization with a culture of serving, they will be lined up to help you. Don't let that fear keep you from asking that question.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think to serve our employees, we also need to get to know our employees. Can you talk a little bit about that? Some things maybe that managers or directors, CEOs can do to get to know their people?
Yeah, I mentioned that a little bit, meeting people where they are.
Yeah.
And part of that, being able to do that, is you have to understand where they are in not only the workplace, but it's really neat to know, do they have kids? Do they not have kids? Do they have a spouse? Are they going through a tough time with a relationship? There isn't anything worse going down the hallway and say, hey, Carol, hey, hi, I hear life is really good for you. And you're going through a struggle that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And you walk away going, the boss doesn't know what's going on. And I'm not saying go find out everything you can about someone, but it does help when you go, like I go on the floor and I'll talk to someone and say, hey, how's your son doing in college?
Mm-hmm.
I may not remember the name, but I do remember that somewhere along the line they were going to go to college.
Yeah.
And that question by itself goes a long, long way. And like I said, you don't need to know everything, but your direct staff, you should know more than just the name and what you expect them to do. You should be investing time to help develop them. And when you do that, you have to know what their desires are, what they know, what they don't know, what education they'd like to add to their background, if any. What can you do to help them learn about the business? At Datron, we're in a military communications business that we sell to foreign governments. It's a strange business. And when people come to us that have only worked in the U.S. market, the best thing we can do is help them learn about the business as fast as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we have to meet them where they are and say, hey, don't be afraid to ask the question. Don't be afraid to tell us you don't know anything about the financing that may be needed with a customer. So ask the question and we'll be more than happy to help you. But invest your time as a leader. Write down, schedule time with individuals and help them develop on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And you really need to invest your time with others.
Yeah. I think a lot of managers struggle with that. In fact, we've had people comment to us about, you mean this is part of my job? You know, to get to know the people that work for them, to set aside time to get to know them. And that really is a change in mindset when you realize that part of your job description, quote unquote, should really be to get to know your people.
Mm-hmm. You can't invest in someone without knowing who they are.
Yeah.
And if you really want to be serious about investing in them and helping them, then you have to know a little bit about them. And it's you know, to me, it's common sense. I've been at it for a little while. In my old days as a leader, I would just say, just do your job. What do you mean? You get paid for doing your job, right?
Yeah.
So you get a paycheck, you do your job, you work hard.
Right.
What's the problem? And people would leave and go, well, the problem is you, because you're a jerk, right? And that's the way people feel. And the unengaged people today in the workforce, we're getting thrown around 70% of the people in the workplace in the U.S. are unengaged. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think it's happening in your own organization, you really need to go look in the mirror and say, what is it that I don't believe this? Because we have unengaged folks in our organizations today. And the best way we can turn that around is go find out who they are, what they need to be successful in their job. And if they invite us in their life and have challenges they want us help with through life, hey, we can help them there and point them in direction to get some help.
Yeah.
You know, we're not professional people that can do everything with an individual.
Right.
But if you're invited in, say, hey, I understand your problem, but you know what, I'm not the best person, but I know who we can go to get you some help. And that makes a big difference.
Well, all of that, you know, everything that you've spoken about, the word that pops into my head is actually another one of our servant leadership behaviors, which is, and I'll just say the word, trust. Because all of that is predicated on building a trusting relationship.
It is. You have to have trust. And when you want trust, you have to give trust.
Mm.
And I love what Covey teaches. And why don't you extend trust and let people know that you want a trusting relationship? And I like the analogy that I use of getting on the freeway and driving on the freeway. We mm-hmm. have people around us that are driving 8,000-pound vehicles going 85 miles an
yeah.
hour. And we trust that they're going to put their blinker on and go in the direction that the blinker's on. And we've never met them before. Most of the people we see on the freeway, we've never met. But we trust them to do the right thing with this 8,000-pound vehicle. We get to work and get a cup of coffee, and the people we spend most of the time with, day in and day out, we don't trust. The trust has been broken. And we're, at times, happy just to sit back and let the trust stay broken. It's too hard to go fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But in organizations, you have to build trust with people. And there's a lot of ways to do that. First, you have to be able to look in yourself and say, do I want a trusting relationship? And if you can't trust people, and you haven't learned how to trust people, go find someone who can help you teach about trust. I remember I worked for a gentleman many years ago. He was a general manager, and he brought a senior staff in one day. And he actually told us this. He says, you know what? Don't take this personal, but I don't trust any of you. Now, I don't know how you don't take that comment personally.
Personally,
and
yeah.
he said, you know, when I want to make a decision, I will get data from you. I will make the decision, and we will move forward. But I don't trust you. And that staff left that day. There was no way we would break our tail to go help this man be successful because he wasn't willing to extend trust. And the best relationships we have are those trusted relationships. So we have to learn what the correct behaviors of trust are, what Covey says the counterfeit behaviors of trust are, where we can focus on getting better and what we need to do to get better. But if you think back at your relationships in your life where you have a best friend, what's the basis for that friendship? It's trust. So start trusting people. Extend some trust and say, you know what, I'm going to trust you that, Carol, you're gonna meet that deadline next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit in a meeting and say, you know what, Carol, for the last 12 months, you've met one deadline out of the 25 that you've committed. Forget the scorecard. Extend some trust and go, you know what? What do you need to meet that deadline? Is there anything I can help you with? Is there any information you need to get that deadline done? Do you want me to help you review a draft and look at it so we can meet that deadline? Work together as a team and extend trust, and the trust will be returned to you. And it's very important. Building
yeah.
trust is probably one of the biggest things we can do as a leader, is
yeah.
build trust.
Yeah. There's a huge leap that people need to make, I think, when it comes to trust in the workplace, because, you know, if I know someone personally, I build a trust with them. But in business, you know, in that work environment, you may not know another individual at all. And yet, we ask in a servant-led organization for people to trust one another. So there's what we call business trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit of a different animal, but I still think it fits into your description of go ahead and take that leap, make that step, extend that trust.
Extend the trust, because here's the economic side of trust.
Mm.
We know that if teams don't trust each other, if they don't trust each other, it's going to take longer to get things done, and it's going to cost more money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the economic side of trust. When people trust each other, things get done so much faster, and it doesn't cost as much money. And if you're in an organization, we can all sit down for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and we know those pockets of people who aren't getting things done on time.
Yeah.
And we always struggle to get them done.
Yeah.
That extra time is costing your company money and delaying you from working on maybe a more important project that your customers want. But why continue doing that? It doesn't help anyone. And so there's a social side of trust, and then there is an economic side of trust, mm-hmm. and the business side. And when we live trust in our day-to-day work and in our families outside of work, we're just a whole lot happier. We love life when we extend that trust and get it in return.
All of this is it's really personal work, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot there that has to go on inside. And I think you need to really know what it is you value and live those values, which is another one of our behaviors that we teach at SLI.
Hmm.
Can you share a little bit about living your values?
Well, first you have to know what you stand for. And what amazes me when we talk to people and we go through and ask people, well, what are your values? And they sit and go, well, let me think about that for a minute. And I sit back and go, why don't people know their values right off the top of their head?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what you stand for.
Yeah.
And you know what you believe in, and you know how you want to be treated. You know what those values are, is pick them out. But we have to take people through an exercise where we give folks a whole page of values, and we say, pick out 10, and then we get it down to 5 to help them zero in on what their values are. And once they can zero in on those values, now they can go, wow, how am I going to live those values? What am I going to do if I want to be an honest person? What am I going to do when someone asks me to do something dishonest?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, I'm going to live my values. I'm not going to compromise my values. Now, there are core values and there's values. And when I talk about those, I always use the late to meeting or the telephone excuse. The late to meeting is, I'm sorry I'm late today.
Yeah.
There was a lot of traffic on the freeway.
Uh-huh.
Well, there was a lot of traffic on the freeway, but what I left out is I didn't leave in time early enough to be here in time for the meeting. So I didn't start, and I left knowing I was going to be late. Did I call anybody? Nope, I didn't call anybody. Well, why don't you respect someone else's values because you expect them to, respect your values?
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes both ways. But the values you have to be able to live every day and identify what they are and then live them. You're going to fail. You're not perfect. And we have to tell people, especially leaders, you are not a perfect person. You are going to fail. What you need to do is learn from those failures, learn from those mistakes, look inside of you and say, you know what, I really am this type of person. I want to be this type of person. What do I need to do to change that behavior and, mm-hmm. and live values? I am a leader that I can't talk the same tone for 8 hours for 5 days a week. That's not who I am. I'm going to change my voice. My voice is going to get loud at times. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's going to be low. That's who I am. And I don't want to scream at people. I don't scream at people and don't holler at people. Do I get passionate about things? I do. I get passionate about the things that I really care to me. And so leaders have a big challenge, because when you hear the same excuse on why things aren't getting done and you're hearing it for the 6th or 7th or 8th time.
Yeah.
And you're expected to sit there with, you know what, that's okay. I understand. You know, we're not getting the results we wanted. The company's struggling, but that's okay. You take enough time that you want to, you know, do that. People say, well, you're not living your values. And I'm going, well, I am living my values because I'm a human being. I make mistakes. And I will admit when I make mistakes and apologize where I need to. And so don't make a list of things that you want to be perfect on, because you're not going to make it. Nobody will. But have those 3 to 5 things that are on your mind, on your heart every day, on how you want to live your life. And think about how you take those values and treat others with the values you treasure so much. Because treat them the same way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And live those values with everybody. And the other challenge is living those values with everybody. The people you like and the people you don't like.
Yeah.
Just because you don't like someone doesn't mean you get to take a break from your values.
Right.
Live them across the board. And start with your family. If I can urge anyone out there that's listening, start with your family. Live your values with your family. Tell your kids that it doesn't matter what they do, it's not going to change how much you love them. Let them know that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that when you want to be an honest, trustworthy person, extend that trust to your kids first and your spouses and the people you treasure in your life, and watch what will happen with your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But find out what they are first. And know what they are first, and identify them, and know what those 3 to 5 things are, and then go figure out how you want to live your life within those values.
Mm.
And when someone wants you to violate them, say no, I'm not going to do that. Now, sometimes a boss will ask you to do something that isn't ethical, and you have to make a decision whether you're going to follow it or
right.
go find another job. And there's times where I will tell you to put your family security first.
Mm-hmm.
But know that you've got to go do something about it and go find another job. Don't break the law. I'm not saying break the law, but we all know that sometimes leaders say, I want to get this done, and I don't care how we get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful with that statement, leaders. Just be real careful, because that just gives people the open door to go violate all the values that are around you and people's values and your organization's values. Don't make that comment to just, we're going to do whatever it takes to get this done. That's not the right message for your folks.
Yeah.
When it comes to values.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are wise words to end our discussion today. It was great talking to you.
Great here. Love it. Love it,
Future
Carol.
Conversations, we'll go into more behaviors.
Great.
Which will be fascinating. So thanks a lot for your time, Art. And thanks to our audience for listening. In future podcasts, we plan to share more conversations with Art Barter, as well as other practitioners of servant leadership. Intrigued by what you've heard? Find out more about the Servant Leadership Institute and the services we offer at www.servantleadershipinstitute.com. And we want to hear about your servant leadership experiences, so send us an email at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com.